our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's the second Sunday of Easter. Perhaps the eggs have already been painted and eaten. Perhaps the chocolate bunnies have already been devoured, and the Easter baskets have been torn apart of their green plastic grass. Or perhaps you're spreading the traditions out throughout the Easter season. Whatever the case may be, we continue to celebrate today the gifts of Christ in his death and his resurrection. But as we are on the topic of Easter traditions, let's talk about Easter egg hunts for a second. Chances are the kids here today have or will participate in one. Perhaps the parents even have participated in an Easter egg hunt this year, as I know in our family we do. The thing about egg hunts that's weird is you don't know where the eggs are, but yet you're so certain that there's ones that are actually hiding. And you don't know what's inside of the eggs, but you have a good idea that it's chocolate, candy, or a toy inside. We get so excited about Easter egg hunts, and we believe so hard that we'll find some and that there's going to be candy inside these colorful plastic shells. But we never question whether anything's going to be inside of them or not, or if anything is actually hiding. But why is this? Well, it's quite simple. We've experienced Easter egg hunts before. We've had egg hunts every year. There's always eggs that are hidden, and there's always candy inside. We have no reason to doubt. So why then does Thomas, in our gospel reading this morning, have a hard time believing that Jesus was alive? He and the other disciples had experienced Jesus and his power for 3 years. They saw him walk on water and raise the dead, and yet Thomas doubts that Jesus is alive. Thomas has a problem with believing in what he cannot see. And dare I say, we have the same problem if we're honest with ourselves. As our gospel reading begins, we encounter the disciples hiding in a locked room out of fear of the Jewish rulers. The Jews had just killed Jesus days ago. So if you were one that hung around Jesus, if you were seen as a wingman to Jesus, chances are they did not like you either. So that was a very good reason to be hiding, because you might be the next to die. Some of the disciples had already witnessed, though, the empty tomb. Some believed in the resurrection, while others probably heard rumors of the resurrection. And maybe they still questioned whether Jesus was really alive. Maybe his body was instead still dead, moved, or stolen. But whatever all of their states of minds were at the time, it's clear that they were afraid. And they not all completely understood Christ's resurrection. They had seen Jesus, heard his promises, but yet they had a difficult time believing. Now I want us to imagine this. I mean, really picture it in our heads. The disciples are in this locked room, confused and afraid. And Jesus appears in the room with them, and he says to them, "Peace be with you." The same Jesus that was beaten, whipped, humiliated, and killed is now speaking words of peace. Jesus shows them his hands and his side, and he says to them once again, "Peace be with you." Only this time he does it a little bit different. He breathes on them, and immediately they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's by the help of the Spirit that they're able to speak a forgiveness of sins and to proclaim Jesus Christ's death and resurrection for the forgiveness of everyone. It's the same Holy Spirit that was with Jesus in his ministry from his baptism to his being tempted in the wilderness and to his resurrection. It's the same Spirit that's coming now from the mouth of Jesus to his disciples. Now, Thomas was another one of the disciples, and he was not in the locked room with those disciples at the time, but he had heard rumors of Jesus' resurrection. And he said, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails and place my finger into the marks of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now, this statement alone seems to be a little unbelievable. How could Thomas say such a thing like this? I mean, think about it. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He walked with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He witnessed miracles of Jesus, raising men from the dead, giving sight to the blind, exorcising demons. He tasted the very body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. He heard the Old Testament scriptures prophesy of his coming. He heard Jesus himself say that he would die and rise again. So why didn't he believe? But wait. Before we come down on Thomas too hard, maybe we should stop and examine ourselves. It's true. You and I are not Thomas. We haven't physically walked the shores of the sea with Jesus. We haven't witnessed any miraculous catch of fish with our own two eyes. But we do have the same Old Testament scripture that Thomas had that prophesies of Jesus' coming. We too have ate and drank of the very body and blood in Holy Communion. We believe that Jesus is risen, even though we haven't touched his hands or his side. But yet, we, like Thomas, still doubt from time to time. For instance, in the midst of a tragic situation, it's not always easy to believe and to see that we have the God of the universe watching out for us, that the risen Christ is really right there with us, working on our behalf, as he promises, "Lo, I am with you always." And instead, we take to our own worries, and we just worry, and we run to the sinful pains of this life. We, like Thomas, begin to doubt and run to sin. We lie to those that we love. We speak badly about people. We have addictions that we love and hate simultaneously. We lust after sexual desires. We worry constantly about our life. And once we're finally convicted of all of these sins, and we know that Jesus has seen and heard them, we feel so guilty that we trap ourselves in this worry and guilt-filled room. And we doubt that Jesus could actually forgive our sins. We, like Thomas, doubt. But why is this? Why do we doubt? Well, the answer is quite simple, but as simple as it may be, it's also very weighted and heavy as it makes our way up through the depth of our hearts and our minds throughout our esophagus, as it rolls off the tip of our tongue. The answer that is quite simple is hard to say. We are sinful. In our thoughts, words, actions, and desires, we have thrown out God's will for us to the curb. By our sin, we have doubted Jesus Christ, God himself. We've doubted that he's watching out for us and the world. And in doing so, we've doubted that he's God of the universe. We've doubted that he sees and cares for the sins that we commit. We've doubted that he can forgive such sins and crimes. But in doing so, what does that entail for us? Well, it means that whenever we doubt, we sin all the more. And when we doubt that we can be forgiven. We cheapen God's gift of his body and blood in the sacrament. We cheapen his sacrifice. And as we doubt, we not only doubt, but we end up denying the resurrection ourselves. But Jesus does not leave Thomas in this state of doubt, as he does not leave us in this state of doubt. Because as we carry on in our story, 8 days later, Jesus appears to the disciples again, and to Thomas. And Thomas is astonished to see Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Thomas may have walked with Jesus, talked with Jesus, fished with him, saw miracles, heard the gospel message, ate and drank the blood of Jesus, but he, like us, struggled with sin. But here stands Jesus before him, with marks in his hands and his side, the resurrected Lord, the Lord who speaks peace in the midst of death and sin. There must have been no greater comfort than this for Thomas, to not only behold Jesus, not only to touch his hands and his side, but to believe. To believe and to know that his sins no longer had dominion over him, that he would never face death. The comfort was given to Thomas at the sight of Jesus, but that same comfort is given to you and to me, brothers and sisters in Christ. Yes, we have sinned. Yes, we deserve death, but our story does not end here. It must not end here. Our story is in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus. Remember, oh, how we have to remember this, that we are saints in the eyes of God. It seems unfair, I know, that an innocent man had to die for our sin. But as he died, you died. As he was raised to new life, you were promised new life forever in your baptisms, where you will never have to face death again. It seems unfair. It seems too good to be true. It seems gracious, loving, undeserved, paid in full, comforting, worry-free, free of pain, free of death, forgiving and peaceful. As we reflect upon the words of Jesus, peace be with you. Through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus, we believe that he is risen and that we are forgiven. We need not doubt this gracious gift because Jesus Christ conquered sin, death, and Satan for us. We may not have lived the earthly life with Jesus at the time. We may have not have walked or talked with him in the person. But here is what we look to, these last few words of Jesus to Thomas. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet have believed. We may not have seen Jesus the same way that Thomas had, but we still are forgiven for all of our sins. When the pastor says, peace be with you in the Lord's Supper, and when he forgives you all of your sins in confession and absolution, in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. We hear the Holy Spirit. We hear this good news of forgiveness from Jesus. When we see and partake in the very body and blood of the Lord's Supper, we taste on the tips of our tongues his body and blood and are promised a new and eternal life with Christ forever. No, we don't doubt whether there's going to be chocolate inside of an Easter egg or not. But in the same way, but on such a greater scale, we don't have to doubt whether Christ is risen or not, or whether we'll have eternal life or not, or whether he's with us here right now, or right here or not. For we believe in what we cannot see, as Thomas and the disciples did see. And we know that we are saints in the eyes of God on behalf of Jesus. It's true that seeing is believing in many aspects of life, but when it comes to faith in God, faith in Jesus, faith that you have eternal life, seeing is not always believing. We believe in what we cannot see. As John reminds us today, as the disciples went out to spread the good news to the world and to us, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these things are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing our hymn of response, hymn 469, Christ the Lord is risen today.